All too often, we act like little children who don't want their parents' help. We won't turn to God. We seek to do things in our own strength and with our own resources. And just like the little child who gets way in over their head, we find that our efforts to run our own lives only makes things worse. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim concludes his message on Galatians 3:1-6 and brings us to the question of who or what do you trust when things go sideways? It's an important question and one that we might find painful to answer, but we must answer it. So let's join Pastor Jim as he concludes this message.
We don't turn to God when we need something. In fact, we don't turn to God when we don't need something. We just don't turn to Him like we should. We don't turn to Him. We're going to do it ourselves. We're going to recruit whoever we need to help us do it ourselves. And we're going to make it happen. Or we're going to complain because God isn't doing it the way we want Him to. Numbers 21:4-9. From Mount Hor they set out by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there was no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people in Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He will take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. They're complaining about what God has given them. When you aren't willing to go to God for what He wants, you're complaining. It isn't even something that you have to verbalize. And their complaint is so much like what ours is. They're impatient, it says. It says, "We loathe this worthless food." What was the worthless food that they're talking about? Manna. Where'd manna come from? Kroger's? It came from God Himself, didn't it? From the very hand of God. God prepared bread for them. He put it out with the dew. They could go out and they could collect enough bread for them to eat for that day. Each and every day. But the gift of God became common to them. And their bellies became God. And what did they call that food? Worthless food. They called what God gave them worthless. In fact, they said they hated what God gave them. Folks, when we are ignoring the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we are murmuring and complaining, we are doing it ourselves, we are finding our own way, when we are forcing it through, we are absolutely no different than this. That's what's happening to the Galatians. Somebody has come in and made sense to them that didn't match God's word. And since it made sense to them, they began to think, well, they have to be circumcised. When the people in the wilderness began to complain and murmur and want to go another direction than what God had given them, when they complained like this, God sent these serpents to bite them, and they began to die. God could just as easily have said to Moses, "Hold up your staff and I will scatter the serpents." He could have, without saying anything to Moses, Moses could have prayed, asked him for it, and then they just disappeared. God could do that, right? He brought them. He could send them. But God didn't take it away from them. Because if He would have taken it away from them, what would have happened? It's going to happen anyway, as we know the story through Numbers. But it would have happened faster. They would have so quickly turned back to themselves, wouldn't they? So instead, they had to continue through the wilderness, watching out for the serpents. And if they were bitten by one, they had to turn to God's provision. God's provision was, look at the bronze serpent and be healed. They had to turn to God's provision. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. Do you think there was anybody amongst all of the Israelites that were coming through the wilderness who didn't have this on their mind? Folks, sometimes God does not take us out of our issues because He wants us to listen to Him. And when I say listen to Him, don't tell me God told me to do this. I saw something from Vodi Bakum this week. It says, the Lord told me is no substitute for the Bible says. Because what the Bible says is God's Word. What you think the Lord told you may or may not be. But what the Bible says is, we have to turn our attention, we have to turn our focus to God. We're 30-something people in this room today. Each family here has a different set of issues. Even if you're related to another family in here, you have a different set of issues. Each family here, each person here, your issues are legitimate, right? You surely would not be drawn down by something that wasn't legitimate or give your attention to something that wasn't legitimate. But yet, the question is, how are you trying to handle those? Are you trying to make it happen or are you trusting God? You know, I would wish with all that is within me that Palmer did not have that accident. I would wish that with everything I have that he did not have that accident and that the family would not be going through this and that Palmer would not be in this place. I think about the statement that he's not going to make it. This statement has just rung in my head for the last 17 days. It has rung in my head time after time again. Because what this statement did is it took everything out of the hands of the doctors and placed everything in the hands of God. And folks, no matter what your condition, or the condition of the people you love, the very best place they can be is in the hands of God. They listened to the Spirit. They were in the hands of God. And what was impossible with man, we're seeing happen, aren't we? Before our very eyes, we're seeing God step by step restore this young man. The thing is God could have just as quickly healed him immediately and wholly. And if he had, there would have been some praise to God, wouldn't there? And there would have been some sharing of that story. But it would not have turned the people to prayer that are being turned to prayer. I think there isn't a day that goes by now that the rest aren't hearing from somebody about how they had quit believing. And what they're seeing in the prayer for Palmer has changed it. And they now believe. Like I said, I could wish with everything in me that didn't happen. And I do, but God had a purpose, didn't He? Folks, when we can trust the Holy Spirit, when we can trust God, and we can turn to His Word, and we can go to our knees, we will find a closeness to God, an intimacy with God that maybe you didn't even know existed. But that's really hard for us in the 21st century, isn't it? Because we have doctors, we have all this equipment. There are still doctors who believe that it's what they're doing that's bringing Palmer along. We have doctors, all this equipment, we have money, we have banks, we have friends, we have, the list goes on and on of all the things that we have so we can do it ourselves so we don't have to spend as much time in prayer. Prayer comes from the heart of the Holy Spirit. It does not come from your heart. Let me hop ahead in my notes here a little bit. And I'll tell you what comes from your heart, as if you didn't already know. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately sick. Some of your versions will say wicked. That's the heart of man. Out of that heart, is that really how you want God to be seen? Out of a heart that is wicked? That is sick? You see, we don't think we need prayer anymore. We don't count on the Holy Spirit. We don't count on God because we can do so many things ourselves. We have technology that even when I was graduating high school, I would have never dreamt about. I mean, I saw some of it on the Jetsons, but I didn't think it would ever happen. Right? Even 10 years ago when we were doing some Skyping, I thought that was just amazing. And now we just pick up any phone and have face-to-face with somebody. That's crazy. That's the world we live in. So advanced. But it didn't take away the need for God. It just fooled the people into trusting something other than God. don't have to look very far to see it. From church to church across this country, the church service that is lowest attended, I don't care how big or small the church is, the lowest attended church service is the prayer service. Period. Because people don't see a need to pray. Part of the reason they don't see a need to pray is because they do not listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit guides them. Part of the reason they don't see a need to pray is because they can take care of it themselves. Part of it is because we have to humble ourselves. Myself and any of you, think about this for a moment. It's not hard for you to ask for prayer for somebody, is it? Is it hard for you to ask prayer for yourself? Why? Why is it okay to ask for prayer for somebody else, but not for yourself? Is it because you really don't believe? I'm guilty here, so I'm talking to me. I'm not just talking to you. Is it because you don't believe that prayer will really help you? Or you don't believe you need it? Or is it because you are so prideful that you squelch the Spirit? You hold the Spirit down instead of sharing your weakness with your brothers and sisters. Friends, we got to turn to God. As Moses held the serpent up, they had to turn to God. They had to turn to His provision. In Galatians 3, verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The promised Spirit. Why wouldn't we cling to the Spirit? We have the most educated society that we have ever had in the history of this country. There are more degrees of every level today than there ever has been in all of history. And what do we do with them? We trust them to get us through instead of God. We trust our intellect, our ability. Let me tell you what the scriptures say. Romans 10, beginning in the 11th verse. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. I'm going to stop there for just a second. I talked earlier about when we get filled up with pride and we fall in the shame that comes. That's what he's talking about. Everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then will they call on Him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him who they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what they have heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We are replacing preaching in pulpits around the world, not just in America. What are we replacing it with? Entertainment. There's nothing wrong with telling a story up here or even a funny story. But the pastor, the preacher, is not meant to be a stand-up comedian. He is not an entertainer. He is to bring you the Word of God so that you will not go astray. And that brings us right back to where we're at here in Galatians. The people have gone astray because they listen to themselves instead of the Spirit. Was it the Spirit or was it your works that caused you to believe? It was the Spirit. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, are you telling me that the Spirit started your salvation, but you have to finish it? You have to hold on to it yourself? I'm scared to death of heights. We rented a lift one time in the gym. The gym is 20 foot tall to the ceiling. So I only had to go up about 16 foot, 17 foot to reach the light bulbs. I went up 4 or 5 foot, I came down. I went up 5 or 6 foot, and I came down. I had to work myself up there. And then I had to change the light bulb with one hand because the other one was tight to the bar on the lift. And if I couldn't reach it, then I had to get clear down, move the lift over a little bit so that I could get to where I was because I wasn't letting go of the side. Because I didn't trust the lift, and I sure didn't trust that I wasn't going to fall. We do that with this world. We can't trust that God can keep us. So we cling to everything, hoping we don't fall, when it is God who holds us up. You know, every time I went up in that lift, it never fell over. Not once did I fall out. Now, I did just about have a heart attack when they were putting those new scoreboards up, and they were standing on the railing of the lift. That stressed me a little. But the lift never went over. I have something far more trustworthy to put your faith in, and that is God. Having begun by the Spirit, you cannot keep yourself in God, in Christ, in the Spirit, on your own. It is His job. Your job is to point to God. As the Spirit fills you with the understanding of God's Word, because you're spending time in it, and you're spending time in it with prayer, so that you hear and understand, you take what you've learned and you point it to all the others. This is what God says. This is God. We don't have to hold on to God's hand with one hand while we're doing with the other. He can keep us. It is not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. He says, did you suffer so many things in vain? What kind of things did they suffer? To become a Christian there, to become a Christian in China today, become a Christian in Pakistan today, in many parts of the world today, you're going to suffer. People are disowned by their family. You know, there are people who are killed by their family because they became a Christian. I know in this country, people who are disowned by their families because they became a Christian. Sometimes we seem to think that our own efforts through those suffering are what bring us closer to God. You've seen depictions in movies and such of religious people who are beating themselves with a whip, thinking that they're purifying themselves. People who put themselves through great tortures to show their faithfulness, when all of that is foolishness. All of that is in vain. But when the Spirit moves us, we will still face troubles. When the Spirit calls us, there are difficult things. I'll tell you, I didn't know 20-something years ago how hard it is to be a pastor, how hard it is to be a preacher. Not that I would have changed anything, but people don't realize the difficulty of following after Christ. If somebody wants to become a pastor, I would never stop them as if I was standing in the way of God and Him moving on them. But I would never push somebody into being a pastor. That would be the worst thing I could do for anybody. He goes on to verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law? That brings me back to Palmer. The miracles that God has done in him, are they based on how he or his parents have behaved? Remember the story? It would be John chapter 9. Jesus is coming into town and they come past a man who is blind, and his disciples say to him, Master, teacher, who sinned? Was it him or his parents that caused his blindness? Jesus said it wasn't either. It was so that the works of God might be manifest in them. Is it because of Palmer's parents' faithfulness that God is doing this? Did they do just the right rituals? Did they do a dance around a fire like the pagans do? Did they do something that caused God to say, okay, I'm going to help them? They really did this. No. It is out of the mercy of God's heart, His grace, and the love for those who He has chosen. The fact that they are faithful is because of what God has done in them, not because of what they have done. The fact that God has used this for His glory comes out of the fact of who God is, that others would know of His mercy. Romans 4, beginning in the 21st verse, fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. As we see this text conclude, Abraham's faith, the question mark, was it counted to him as righteousness? It was counted to him as righteousness because God was able to, because God had grace on you. If you are here today and you belong to Jesus Christ? If you are saved, what did you do to get it? There's some of you who have, over the years, over the last year, worked diligently in this building, on the grass outside this building, to keep it up and to move it forward. There are those who have worked in the different ministries that we have. What did that do for your salvation? Nothing. So why did you do it? Because it honors and glorifies God, right? Not because of what you get from it. When we're so worried about ourselves, we'll be worried about what other people think about us because we're worried about what we think. We'll be worried about how other people treat us, and we will be torn down. But when we come to the place that God is trustworthy, and that for us to be in the Spirit is to receive all that God has for us, when we come to that place, we can let go of what anyone else thinks and do what is right. Until then, no matter how hard you try not to, you're going to be worried about other people. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to show up here wearing jeans with holes in them or mismatched shoes, which I've done once accidentally. I don't want to show up here, you know, looking like I do not have respect for God. But how I dress says nothing about who I am in Christ. It shows what I think of Christ. As we close, let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2. And by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. There are some people who take God as a good idea, and then they try to recreate him in their own image. They want a God that fits who they are. Something I've been trying to make sure they understand at the Methodist Church is God's word doesn't change for a different denomination. God's word does not change for a different nationality. God's word does not change for a different language. God's word is God's word, and it is the place we go to be close to him. It is the place we go with all of our issues. So I was listening to a MacArthur sermon. He was saying about David, all the things that David went through. David went through it, didn't he? Loss of a child. David had a son that wanted to kill him, chased him out of the kingdom. David had a king that tried to hunt him down to kill him. David had sin that came into his life and tore him down. And as you look at the Psalms, where did David go when he needed something, when he needed help? Where did David go when he was at the bottom? It was always God, wasn't it? It was always God. He didn't go looking for somebody to fix his problem when he was right with God. He just got right with God, got before him. No matter what's going on in your life, God can, by his Spirit, change it. And when he changes it, that may not mean that he takes it away, but he may give you something to look at by the Spirit that keeps your mind on him and keeps you from being killed. Please stand with me. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that your word has been heard this morning. I pray, Lord, that I didn't get in the way. I ask you, Father, to draw all who are here to you, that they would seek you out in good times. They would seek you out in hard times. They would seek you out in bad times. And that they would seek you out in desperate times. Because you are all that we need. You are everything. Or as the song says, you are our all in all. Draw these that you've brought into this house to yourself, that they would make much of you. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.
Amen. What a great reminder for us. Remember always that your faithfulness is the result of God's mercy, not the cause of it. He is the one that you can always trust, no matter what the circumstances might be. And he is the only one who will never fail you. This lesson, that we can and must trust God, is the foundation of everything, from our salvation to our sanctification to our hope of heaven. If God is not to be trusted, then we are without hope. But, beloved, God is to be trusted. and his absolute faithfulness is the one sure anchor in these days of uncertainty. God alone is our hope. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. Or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to life from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. Today, I'd like for us to just take a moment to look at the idea of being sold out to God. You know, as Christians, there shouldn't be anything that stands between us and doing what pleases and honors God. And yet, we have so many things that turn us into man-pleasers instead of God-pleasers. We are concerned about what people think of how we dress. We're concerned about what people think about what we look like. We're concerned about what people think about how we worship God. We are concerned about what people think about our doctrine. If our doctrine pleases God, it doesn't matter who it doesn't please. We need to be grounded in serving God. We need to serve Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. That's how we show we love Him, by serving Him and keeping His commandments. If we look at the scriptures in Matthew 6, verse 33, it says this: "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you." What is it that holds us back from sharing the truth of God's Word? It is clear in God's Word that abortion is a sin, and yet we're afraid to tell somebody it is. It is clear in God's Word that life begins at conception, and yet Christians to think it's okay to murder a child that is in its mother's womb? You see, these are details that man just doesn't want to admit. But it doesn't stop with just this on abortion. Why is it that we don't tell the truth of God's sovereignty? I'll tell you why we don't. I have been hammered many times because people do not like the fact that God is sovereign. They do not like the fact that He is the one who chooses and is in charge of all things. They want to reduce His sovereignty. They want to reduce His greatness, His majesty, so that they can make God more common, and then they can feel better about the sinful lives they lead. But folks, we need to be willing to share the truth in love. When we do it as some sort of superior, we have fallen way short. We need to do it in love. Share the truth of God's Word, that those who have erred can get onto the path and serve God the way that they, in a way that brings glory to God's name. Well, folks, that's today's final word. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.